Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
All right, a happy Monday, a happy President's Day. We love our presidents. And welcome in to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios here at Fox Sports Knoxville. You are on Fan Run Radio for another edition of Overtime, clocking in after 6 o'clock here on a lot of y'all's day off. We're not taking a day off here at Fan Run Radio. No, sir. We are going to round out the 13 consecutive hours of local programming here on Fox Sports Knoxville today. Again, it's Overtime with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I'm Tanner Carson. To my left, I have Tucker Holt. And up in the producer's perch, doing some double duty right now, getting the Drives podcast up and ready for your listening pleasure. Well, after you get done listening to us, of course. It can wait a minute. But we got Hayden Wallen, who's up in the producer's perch. Three-man crew riding with you for these next 2 hours here, kicking off the week the right way here. Gentlemen, how are you feeling? How are you doing, Tucker?
Feeling good. I've had a long day, but sticking in there.
Hey, what's 2 more hours?
That's right.
I believe in you. You're young.
Oh, yeah.
You're younger than me.
Oh, I can make it. My mind's kind of been faltering, though. Like, on the way here, I stopped to get some gas. Mm-hmm. I walked in. I paid. I walked back to my car. I got in, and I drove away. I did not pump my gas. I had to turn around and go back.
That's nice.
Yeah, it just shows you the kind of day it's been going.
That's nice. You need to borrow something there, Hayden? There we go. Ah, a little dongle. It's okay. It happens. Needs to hear the audio in here. Yeah, man, kicking off everything here. I'm glad everyone's having a good day. I've had a pretty good day myself. Let's see. I don't know. Is that yours, Tucker?
Sure.
Would you like to hear some audio through your headphones?
Sure. There I would love go. To.
Do you have your own personal dongle? Oh, I didn't know
wow.
that.
Oh, okay. Wow. This man.
I thought one looked a little bit different there. I don't know. We were just like flipping out like little doohickeys down there in the whole audio input. Okay, I'm glad we got that sorted out. It'd be really bad. We had the case of the missing audio dongle here.
The crisis is over.
the biggest crisis since the Soviets had nuclear missiles in Cuba, just 90 miles off the coast of Florida. It's been avoided.
That's one A and one B.
1A and 1B. And you can argue which one's the A and which one's
the B. It's really up. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, man, but I had a pretty productive day. Did some running around with the family, actually, since they had the day off from work as well. Went to do you ever fancy yourself going to McKay's Books?
I've always heard people talking about it. I've actually never been. I've heard it's amazing.
It is amazing because they have like no shortage of things that they have.
Yeah.
The other downside to that is it's extremely crowded.
Oh, really? I didn't know like they got a ton of business.
It's crowded all the time.
Oh, wow.
All the time, and especially on a day like today when a lot of people have a day off work. A lot of people are ending their 3-day weekend. A lot of people in there, but I traded in some old school books. Got to do that.
There you go.
Got to trade in some books, and I got to I bought me one book, actually. Bought me a sports book. I bought me that old book about Bob Knight when he was coaching Indiana.
Yeah.
Their 87 national championship season, a season on the brink.
Okay.
I've been told from people who have read that you need to read that if you're just a sports fan in general.
Okay.
So it was on sale for $1.50.
Wow, okay, well, so they do got the deals, okay.
They had the deals. I looked for that after trying to look for all sorts of different type of games. Like, I looked at their PS4 games. I mean, they didn't really have anything that I hadn't played. That
they
I
have
really
games?
Was. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, game
always,
systems.
I've always heard it, like, I thought they just had, like, used books and stuff.
But books is what they have a plenty
that's,
of.
Okay.
So they have books, they have CDs, and, like... Dadgum.
Do they sell like vinyls and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, oh yeah, they got vinyl.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I've been like looking for some vinyls.
Oh, they have plenty of vinyl.
I might head over to McKay's.
They have plenty
then.
Of vinyl in there. It's all about searching really hard for something specifically you want.
Yeah.
But they have that. They have, like I said, it's lost to like game systems they have.
They sell systems?
Yeah. Like anyone you can think of.
You are opening me to a whole new world.
Get your hands on them.
Wow.
And what I noticed they had this time, because I hadn't been in a minute, they have like musical instruments. I have like some guitars on sale too.
And, oh, and how big? I've seen it. Like, is that place huge? I've not seen it. I've not even been over there.
Not big enough to where it's overwhelming, but yeah, it's got a lot of space.
Oh, so this is like a if a thrift store turned into like a giant department store. Not giant, but like, you know, a bigger version.
Kind of basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically,
I need to head over there.
It's like that. Yeah, you do. So I spent a lot of time over there. Got me some money for my school books that I have still been hanging on to since I graduated. Had a nice lunch. So after that, yeah, pretty productive day. But about to get really productive in here, though, man. And
yes, sir.
Tennessee basketball, though. You want to talk about like the just not being productive. It's talking about this basketball team here. I had the feeling while watching this one when it was getting later on in the game, especially when Tennessee had different points to where like they would stave off this South Carolina comeback attempt. They would stave off these little runs that Frank Martin's squad was trying to produce. But then it's just like, well, you're holding them off, but you're really not putting them away. This team has not been good at putting a lot of teams away.
No.
They just haven't. Even in games that they won, it's been really hard to put teams away. I would really only say what? We've put away three SEC teams. We've put away Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
You put away Vandy on the road, excuse me. And you put away Arkansas Tuesday. So you put away like three teams.
Yeah, you've done it three times this season, the entire season.
So it's going to be hard on the road. It's absolutely going to be hard on the road to do that. And, man, it's just – and what was kind of reminiscent of the first time these teams played, tough, physical, no real breathing room. First half, definitely much more sloppier than the second half. I think you just had bad offense to start the first half, and then it was less about – the offense is being bad, more about, hey, these two teams are just defense first. They're going to guard the hell out of you, and that's what they did the whole time here. So not a lot of whole separation, and common themes for both teams. And we'll get to here in a second how much of an impact these have, but missing some free throws. Both teams missed a good amount of free throws. Turnovers, especially for Tennessee, having 20 turnovers. Missed free throws, turnovers, that's not going to help you win games on the road.
Never.
But even with that being said, you're still right there at the very end. Carolina gets the lead. John Fulkerson gets the charge call. South Carolina sinks some free throws. South Carolina fouls smartly. Josiah James hits the first one to make it a two-point game. Does the exact right play. You go for that intentional miss of the second free throw. You try to get the rebound and get the shot. Execute it perfectly. I don't think I've ever seen one executed like that flawlessly, because Josiah just ran to that immediately. It was just a tough shot on that fadeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go in. You fall by two at South Carolina. One that, for Tennessee and South Carolina, both being where they were in the SEC standings at the time, both being where they were in terms of overall record and how you would think the selection committee would look at their resume, that was one that was going to be kind of like a diverging path type of game. The loser is pretty much going to the NIT, and the winner, hey, you're back in bubble discussion right here. And Tennessee on the losing side of that one.
Yeah, that one stung.
Big time. Some big time.
It wasn't a charge.
You don't think so?
It looked like the guy was falling down before he even like planted his foot to make that spin.
My bias would just agree with that.
I mean, yeah, sure, I am biased, but I don't know, man. It looked like a flop.
I'm one of those people, like, I am not the never blame the refs guy, because refs do deserve blame sometimes.
Especially in the SEC.
If a call is egregious enough, and especially in college basketball in general. They've had that problem for years in that sport. But at the same time, I'm just thinking of – I think of those missed free throws. I think of those turnovers first and foremost.
It shouldn't have mattered.
I think of the possession with under a minute to where it's – Carolina is – who the hell was guarding Vescovi? Was it Lawson or one of their other guards guarding him? But either way, whoever it was, face guarding Vescovi, denying him from ever getting the ball. And it seemed like, well, Bowden has the ball at the top of the key, and if you can't get to Vescovi, it's like, well, we didn't drop an option B if you can't get to him. So you just sit on that. You can't come up with a good shot. Coaching, yet I said on Twitter, some people like disagree with me. Man, I think in the end of that game, Frank Martin outcoached Rick Barnes. I really think he did. And that's not to say that the players didn't have their own faults, too. That's what some – I saw some people disagree with me when I said that. It's like, oh, well, I guess Barnes should have made them make their free throws and not turn it over. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. That has its own percentage of the blame, too, but you can't overlook some coaching decisions, some offensive decisions as well. It's just frustrating, man. I think that's what we can boil down this team to in one word, is frustrating.
Yeah. The whole season, just one big frustration.
Hayden, buddy, what do you think about this? Did you do VR over the weekend?
No, I went home this weekend, but I called in to VR. It was Russell and Bear and John who did it.
That's right. John Tyler. I didn't know if you were there or not.
Super disappointed in the end of the game. I mean, I said it in my VR call. It was just like it was just disappointing to have a fifth-year head coach draw up a play for the end of the game, and it was just dribbling the ball at half court, and just it was playing not to lose more than playing to win there at the end. So I don't know. It was pretty obvious they didn't want Vescovi to get the ball because they were face guarding him and denying the ball, and that was pretty much. That was the only thing we wanted to do. There was no option B, even though we have a senior shooting guard dribbling the ball at half court.
And that's why I have to give credit to Frank Martin in that late game right there, because he knew exactly what option A was going to be. And then, hell, it's on our coach to draw up something else. Like, hey, just – I mean, I know this is basketball, not football, but call an audible. You know, you got to get the ball to someone else. But at the same time, that's also kind of the problem is, who is on this team – well, besides John Fulkerson, because, I mean, give credit to him. Another career high on Saturday, 25 points. He had no problems being aggressive throughout that game. But when it comes time for, you know, shoot-or-shoot type of mentality, I mean, besides Vescovi, who is that guy? Because it ain't Jordan Bowden. It's just not him.
Who would you say is our second best shooter? I mean, it's not Bowden. Bowden has lost his three-point
stroke. By stats, it's Triple J.
Yeah.
By statistics, I mean.
But would you trust him with a three with the game on the line?
I mean, if they're going to guard the hell,
I mean, Vescovi. Yeah, I mean, that's the only one you got.
And unless you can drop something where you get pawns open with a lot of space, because I would trust pawns with an open shot, but pawns isn't the person you think of to be that shot type of person. Yeah. Guys, who do you? What's your biggest factor in the loss? Because I've named a lot of them. I think foul trouble, turnovers, missed free throws, even coaching. I think all of those are valid. But what was the biggest factor, y'all think? Because I can't decide what the biggest one is.
Coaching.
I think it's coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to get on Barnes. I mean, I'm not calling for his head.
We got a Barnes basher.
But I think that we got outcoached when we on. In the second half, when it was down to the wire, when we were on offense and they were on defense, they were the better team. And I don't know if that's just that we have no players who look to score on offense or what, but we had two timeouts when we had the ball with 40 seconds left and we couldn't get Vescovi the ball. So we could have easily called a timeout and figured something else out. But it's pretty obvious, and I'm shocked that we haven't seen more of it this year. We can't do much against the zone, and I don't know why. I mean, if you're the opposing team, I don't know why you wouldn't run a zone against us, because we can't shoot threes.
Isn't it weird too, because like our first big non-conference game all the way back in November was against Washington, who was, you know, ranked in the top 20 at the time. They're still the only team to hand Baylor a loss, which is incredible to think about, because Washington's been so bad since they lost Quade Green. But Washington's led by, I forgot his name, but he's the Boeheim disciple. He runs that 2-3 zone the whole time. And it's just like we had the perfect game plan against that. But now when teams want to switch mid-game, get us out of our comfort zone, it's like, whoa, what do we do here?
Yeah, I remember watching that game. It was the day of the Garth Brooks concert.
Oh, it was. Yes,
and
it was.
I was watching it before I went, and I was just talking to my friends, and I was like, how stupid is Washington to run a 2-3 zone against us when all we can do is shoot threes at that time? Because we had, well, that's all we were doing. We had no inside game at all. And the narrative has completely flipped now to where if you're not running the zone against us, you probably shouldn't be coaching in the SEC. But people continue to keep running man against us, and that's why Fulkerson had 25.
I need three more John Fulkersons on this team, or at least somebody with just the way that that guy has improved so much throughout his career and be on this team. Maybe we might be a little bit better, but frustration is a common theme with this team, obviously. And again, it's just this team's had bad luck too. I don't want to not give out criticisms where they're deserved, but man, sometimes some crap just doesn't go your way during the season, and that's another thing for this team as well. We'll pick it back up, the basketball discussion, on the other side. We'll hit this first break of the program. Open up the phone lines, too, if you would like to call in and give your thoughts on Tennessee basketball here. It's 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. We're going to be back after this short break. All right, we are back in here on Overtime talking about this Tennessee basketball squad here. Rick Barnes has a press conference today. I'm about to get some select quotes here because, I mean, he's pretty open and direct about some of the issues facing this team here. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you're 14-11 right now, back to 500 in the SEC, and looking at a almost now slim to none chance of making the tournament just with the type of teams that you have to play coming up here soon. You actually only had a 12% chance to make the tournament according to ESPN before South Carolina.
That's pretty much no. Just never going to happen anyways.
Well, it surprises me that South Carolina's done like better than expected in conference play because, man, they opened up the season with such bad losses. I'm thinking Stony Brook, Boston University. What's other? There's other teams I'm missing. They lost to some bad teams, but they got pretty good wins on their resume now. They beat Virginia at Virginia, beat them by 11, which is just crazy to think about. I know Virginia's in a rebuilding year, but still, that's a tough thing to do. They have a win over Kentucky. Am I missing anything? They have another really good win. Better resume wins than we have, though.
Definitely.
When our best are VCU, that's really it now because Washington's been so bad in the Pac-12.
Washington was a good win for a while.
Do you think they should just count the quality of the win when you played them?
Yeah.
Because Washington literally is a different team. They did have Quade Green at point guard, transfer from Kentucky. Now he stopped going to class, so he was ineligible for the second half of the season. He was used to being in Kentucky. You got to go to class at other places, Quade. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, man, it's just looking at the team now is just Do you chalk up a lot of things that have happened since the season started just to bad luck, guys, and just sometimes things really just don't go your way in college basketball. Things just really don't go your way in sports. I mean, look at North Carolina this year and all the struggles they're having. Years like this happen to even really good programs. Now, you see years like this really don't happen to elite programs all that often, but you're not really immune from just the injury bug biting you and the slump bug biting some players like Jordan Bowden. What are we chalking this up to? Why is it this way? Because it's just, I think about everything that has happened here, and it's just, well, thankfully we got Vescovi to at least make us entertaining.
I mean, whenever I tune into Tennessee now, it's like, well, I want to see what Vescovi can do. Because he always has some just insane highlight. And he should have way more assists than he does. Because he'll have some insane, just perfectly accurate pass to a wide-open shooter. And then it's a mess.
I do have to criticize him a little bit because he did have the turnover issue again near the end of it.
That's his one.
Had a big, costly one, even though it was just right before that. Think about all those ways he was able to find Eve for a nice dunk. Think about the hustle he had when he had one turnover, but then fought to get the ball back, found Fulkerson, ended up getting an assist to get the lead back with about a minute left. He's doing a lot more good than bad.
Yeah.
He still can't get over.
And he's so entertaining.
He is very entertaining when he does it. I mean, just on Saturday, I saw so many times he's able to do just like behind the back passes, just casually.
Yeah, like it's nothing.
It's like watching the Globetrotters out exactly. there sometimes.
He's got the flash.
He is very flashy for sure. Here's what Barnes had to say about Jordan Bowen today. He said, "We all feel for Jordan because one thing I will tell you, he has continued to defend at a high level, which is hard to do when you're not playing as well as you want to play on the offensive end." Man, it's so Bowen's still averaging 12 points per game, which doesn't look bad on the surface, but when you look at the percentages from his shooting, 25% on the season from three. It's a lot worse than SEC play. Oh my God. Look how much it's down. So, sophomore year, 39% from three. Junior year, 37% from three. All the way down to 25%.
Is that just like he was able to just be a spot-up shooter and like we had other weapons? It just whenever he has the ball in his hand, he can't create?
That's your first inclination. But also, there's been so many points to where like he's had sets drawn up for him where he's had the same type of looks
he's
had the last 2 years. And again, I saw it a few times against South Carolina. He would perfect form, good open shot. That's a shot you want someone like that to have the green light for. It's in the cylinder, and it just bounces out.
It's like he's got the yips or something.
He's got big-time case of the yips.
Like bad.
He's got a big-time case.
His form doesn't look like it's changed a bit. It still looks just... It looks great. Coming out of his hand, it looks like it's going to go in, and it's just off the rim almost every time.
Barnes said, for a guy that has struggled as much as he hasn't done that on the defensive end. And to be honest with you, we all keep thinking sooner or later it's got to happen. Obviously, he's having his worst shooting year that he's had since he's been here. We just hope it happens because he's doing what he should be doing, and sometimes it can become a mental block. And we do everything we can to try to get him to understand that when he's open, he's got to shoot the ball. We just ask him to take good in-rhythm shots, to be honest with you. He just needs to see a couple of them go in, and hopefully he can get it going. Well, Barnes saying sooner rather than later, but you look at the rest of the schedule, you have, at the very least, only 7 games left. 6 regular season and at least 1 tournament game in Nashville. Tick, 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 tick. Clock's running out. I've given up hope. Is that just a defeatist mindset of me?
No, it's a realist mindset.
I mean, what else can you do at this point? He's done positive things like Barnsdale on the defensive end. Bowden has done a lot better at going to the free throw line. He's done a lot better at creating closer to the basket. It's just we thought this guy was going to be the downtown long-range assassin, and he's just not been that.
You know, he's shot so far this year, he's shot more than he did all season last year. More threes.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. He's getting a lot more minutes.
Yeah.
He's getting a whole lot more minutes. He's having to take a higher volume of shots.
Just can't hit him.
Just really can't hear. Is that just really... again, I'll ask you guys to weigh in on this here. Is that one of the biggest issues here, the fact that he's just not been the player that we hope he has been? And especially since... Lamonte Turner had to call it quits.
Yes, he was already going to have to fill in like some big shoes with all the guys that left to go to the league. And then Lamonte's gone too. That just made his job even bigger. And he's not fulfilling that at all.
What do you think, Hayden?
I'm kind of tired of watching him out there on offense. But he is good on defense. He's locked some people down this year, but the reality is we don't have anyone better to come off the bench and to take his minutes, so we're just going to have to watch it. I mean, there's no way around it.
Is that not just like the most logical answer when it comes to when you ask about this team's problems is just the fact that, well, what else do we have? Don't have a real deep and talented bench to go to. The bench guys you do have out there, they try their best at some things. Like Devontae Gaines is flying around everywhere on defense, but I don't remember last time he got something really done on offense. It wasn't – well, what was it a few games ago? He got to the line a whole lot, but that was about it.
He had 6 points against Arkansas.
Yeah, he's not out there taking a lot of shots and draining them. Kamwa, man, that's that's a very hot and cold player, and he's just really been cold more as of lately, and he's more of like a little project. I think he can be really good. I think he can be a very athletic presence that's hard to deal with starting next season.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen this year. Drew Pember. Sorry. He's just not done a whole lot.
Yeah, my favorite memory of Drew Pember, though, is just I was at the Memphis game, and he comes in off the bench, and the guy behind me goes, "Oh, what's Drew Pember going to do? Why is he in there?" And he immediately gets the ball and tries to dunk
on
someone.
He really tried to end that dude's life.
Immediately. He had been on the floor 12 seconds.
That was close. Oh, it was so close.
The place exploded even though he missed it. It was great. If only.
Other quotes from Barnes here today. So, interesting here. Keep this in mind for these last few games. Talked about the health of E. Pons. Barnes said he's struggling with a little tendonitis in his right knee. He hasn't done much. You guys saw him. He hasn't done much in practice for 2 days. But he's such a tough kid, he'll keep fighting it.
Yeah, with the injury, he'll only be able to probably jump like 10 feet off the ground or something like that.
I mean, if it's affecting his play, I didn't notice it against South Carolina.
Yeah, that's the first we've heard of any injury to him, right?
Had his hops the whole time on offense, blocked 2 shots. I mean, I didn't notice anything.
Yeah.
Also talking about Josiah here. He said, "I thought Josiah, for the most part, without being able to do much the last couple of weeks, went out and was okay. He was. Some of the things he didn't do, really, it's probably from not playing. That he needs to clean up, and he will." Josiah didn't look as bad as I thought he would have. Coming off of injury. Do you think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was back home, even though it's not Charleston, it's Columbia, but he was back in his home state?
Yeah.
Had some people there rooting for him. It's some pretty big shots. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I'm afraid of these next few games after Vandy.
Josiah played too many minutes on Saturday. He played 30 minutes.
He was out there for such a long time.
It's a long time to come off when you haven't played, what, 4 or 5 games in a row?
Mm-hmm. And it's been basically about 2 weeks just away from everything. So that was hard for him to do. But, I mean, again, what's your options? What's your other options? It's just like I've heard some people talk about some of the lineups in the first half, how you had just a mix of guys out there on the court that you really don't want out there in a game like that. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, we were also in foul trouble. South Carolina was too, but we were as well. So I can't really hark on Barnes enough for that. It's just what he had there. But again, I guess if you do want to hark on him, you think back. You should have recruited 2 years ago.
Yep.
Should have really recruited 2 years ago. I didn't think we'd be talking that much about a few years ago this season, but it has gotten to that point.
You think he was just expecting who left early? I know Bone left early.
Grant left early. Yeah.
Schofield was a senior, yes. Right?
So, well, yeah. DJ Burns didn't work out, and here's
Derek Walker
transferred.
Yeah.
And here's the big things too. You kind of struck out on the transfer market. Not being able to land Kerry Blackshear is a real big hit.
I had almost completely forgot about that name. That was yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That would have been a big help.
Should have went out and got a guard.
And you also should have thought about your backcourt as well. Should have, could have.
Well, we got Victor Bailey, but he's not eligible
not
for this
next
year.
Next season. People say he's supposed to be really good. Hey, man, should have, would have, could have. That's, but hey, there's a reason Rick Barnes is getting paid $5 million, I guess. We'll find out somehow. It's just got to take your lumps this season here. Let's hit another break here. We'll come back. We'll talk some good news here. Let's talk some good news. It's very bleh, talking about Tennessee basketball here. We'll talk about other Tennessee athletics that are going to make you pretty optimistic when we come back here on Overtime. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Rolling back in here with a little All on the Watchtower. Classic. I think that's one of your favorite songs, Aiden. You've played that a good amount of times. Or do you just really like Hendrix?
It's one of the only songs on the page I know.
Oh, okay. Well, Fair enough, I guess. That's a good enough reason.
I've only played it one
other
time.
That song's in one of my favorite Spotify playlists, just called Helicopter Music, because it's in that like Vietnam war movie soundtrack.
Well, you know the very first one that has to be in a playlist like that, right?
Is, what's the name of the
song? Fortunate Son.
Yeah, okay, I about said Fortunate Son, yeah.
Down in.
Yeah.
Down in. Rice farmers start to run from the fields.
Yeah.
I can just every single movie. We're brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer here. If you ran out Truly over the weekend, go stop by your local grocery retailer, pick you up some more. Make sure you're supplied. 13 different varieties of original Truly, and pick you up some of the 4 new varieties of the Truly Lemonade as well. 100 calories, less than a gram of sugar, 2 carbs, gluten-free, 5% alcohol. You know all about it. It's light, refreshing. Put it in your rotation. You can bench the beer belly bloat with the light, refreshing taste of Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Switching away from Tennessee basketball just to make myself feel a little bit better here, just to make everyone feel a little bit better here. Where do you want to start here? Do I want to mention Tennessee baseball real quick? Because we won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I do have to tip my cap to the Voltellos. For what
Absolutely.
They did this week.
They deserve it.
Let's go ahead and tip our cap. College baseball's back. Started on Valentine's Day. It's still so weird that the college baseball season starts so much earlier than MLB. I feel like no one should be playing baseball in the month of February. But it kicked off. Tennessee baseball kicked off its 2020 campaign, year 3 of the Tony Vitello era. It is year 3, right? Or is it 4?
Three. Okay. Yeah,
making sure. Like, I don't think he's been here longer than 3. But kicked off year 3 against the Western Illinois. What's their nickname, guys?
Oh, the Leathernecks?
The Leathernecks. Really cool nickname.
Solid.
Those directional Illinois schools have some cool nicknames. I think, like, Southern Illinois is like the Salukis.
It's
like a type of dog. There's another one that has a pretty cool
Eastern
name.
Illinois is where Tony Romo went, I think.
But I don't think they have as cool of a nickname, though.
No, but the Leathernecks looks like a bulldog. Like
it is
image.
Like a dog.
That's just weird.
It is. I don't know. But anyway, the Leathernecks got leather wrecked over the weekend, fellas. A 3-game sweep, the Vols put on Western Illinois. After a pretty tight one on Friday, only a 3-0 victory. Oh, on Saturday and Sunday, the floodgates were opened. 19-0 on Saturday, and then, on Sunday, 23-4.
No mercy.
Most runs the Vols have had since 2016, the most runs in the Tony Vitello era. Off to a pretty good start. Back in action tomorrow night against UNC Charlotte at home. So, good little start there. Tip of the cap to the Vol baseball team. Again, Charlotte tomorrow, and that's before they go to do their early season tournament. They will be playing starting on Friday in the Round Rock Classic out there in Texas. They will play Texas Tech, Houston, and Stanford.
Be good.
Or any of them? Are any of them ranked? I'll figure that out real quick, but... Hey, guys, real quick, tip of the cap to the baseball team as well. I am excited for year 3 under Tony Vitello. You went to a regional last year, came pretty close to trying to get to a super regional as well. You guys excited about Tennessee baseball for the first time in a while? Because I don't see how you can't be at least a little bit intrigued. There's a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, like this is the most excited I've been for UT football, or football, baseball, probably ever.
You're in football mode, so...
Yeah, sorry, it's just, that's year-round. But, yeah, whenever we first hired him, I kind of turned my ear up and was like, oh, let's see what this guy can do. He's a young guy. Let's see if he can get us going. And he's impressed me. I really like him. It was a great hire, I think.
Oh, I'm impressed, too, but I was looking at those rankings. Oh, Texas Tech's going to be tough.
What are they ranked?
No, that's impossible. Well, this week in the new Baseball America Top 25, Texas Tech is number 4.
Oh,
we
got them.
Well,
they're usually pretty good.
Let's check out Houston and Stanford.
Stanford's usually decent. They've been in the College World Series a few times.
I swear I just saw them. Well, they're not ranked in the top 25 this week.
They're down here.
Should be a little bit tough though. But yeah, that is what is on Tennessee's baseball schedule coming up this week here. So I had to quickly mention that before I move on to football here. And it's February. February is never too early. Okay. It's never too early. We were talking about Going ahead, looking at these way too early lists. Everyone's coming out with them here. Well, ESPN, just a few days after, dadgum. I forget his name. Bill Connolly. Bill Connolly, excuse me. Wow. Put his SP Plus rankings, and Tennessee came in 19th overall. Well, wouldn't you know it, ESPN released their football power index analytics-based ratings for the upcoming season. And number 19, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Love to see it.
Gonna get hurt. We're gonna get hurt somehow.
Put the cup on.
The cup's always on. The cup never comes off. Guys, we'll pick this up on the other side, too, where we have more time. But your initial reaction to seeing the FPI Football Power Index model having Tennessee in the top 20?
Feels really good.
I know it feels good, but do you think it makes sense?
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Okay.
I mean, the way we finished out the year, the development we got going on, the way our offensive line can look next year, stuff like that. I think we can compete for the East. We don't play Georgia until later in the year. That's a big deal. You know,
that's gonna be so strange.
We don't have that 4-game gauntlet.
I'm talking about just playing Georgia that late in the season, but yeah that's one of the positives.
We don't have to getting
moved.
Play 4 extremely hard games back to back to back to back. That's been needed to be done for years.
I'm looking at this right here too, and before we head to break. So Tennessee had the 4th highest jump of a team in the FPI rank in the preseason from last season to this season, 14 spots higher this time versus last year. The highest jump, Florida State, who's 23rd this year, jumping a whole 28 spots from last year. People high on the Noles as dadgum from Memphis. No, Mike Norvell, as Mike Norvell puts his new staff in there. We'll pick this up on the other side. There's a little to break down here. We will also get to your phone calls. We got Westchester waiting on the line. We'll get to him as soon as we come back from this break here. If you would like to call in, our number is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We're going to wrap up hour one of this Monday edition of Overtime when we come back. All right, wrapping up hour one of the Monday edition of Overtime here. Let's go over to the phone lines. Someone I haven't heard from in a little bit, but we have Westchester, who is on the phone right now. Westchester, long time no talk, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, where the heck you been, Tanner?
I've been here, buddy. Where have you been?
I've been here. It's your fault, not mine.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Hey, I'm sorry to report that a long-time fan of the station, Bubba Wallace, was involved in a late wreck and will not win the Daytona 500.
He was caught in the big one. No!
He was caught in the last. It was a late wreck. But you know what? Any wreck that takes out Bush, you got to take one for the team, all right? That's fine with me.
You know what? His sacrifice is not in vain.
Right. So, that's okay. My guy is currently in, I believe, 3rd. We'll see how it works out, but, you know, other than that, we're good. So, y'all were talking about, what were y'all talking about?
Well, thank you for listening, Westchester. We talked. It's fine. We opened up talking about the basketball game, and then we spent the last segment. I sung the praises of Tennessee baseball for the weekend sweep to open up the season, and then I just mentioned where today in ESPN's 2020 preseason football power index rankings, Tennessee is 19th overall.
Huh. Well, that's not bad. So 19 isn't bad. So where's our sore spot? I mean, like, we're supposed to be bad at offense, bad at defense. What are you lacking on?
I'm trying to find the overall projected thing. If they use Football Power Index uses like the analytics based model, kind of like Bill Connelly's SP Plus, and he had Tennessee at 19th overall too. He had Tennessee as a top 10 projected defense, but it was like 56 when it comes to offense. So I would assume ESPN is using something similar.
Well, I guess it'd help have a quarterback, wouldn't it?
It would help a whole lot, man. Is it as simple as saying that this team might be a really good quarterback away from really competing?
They're a transfer quarterback away from being in the playoffs. I know that sounds, you know, I'm not known for being optimistic.
Yeah, you were the one calling for 3-9 before the season last year.
I mean, we're a transfer quarterback away from being in the playoffs. I really believe that.
I wouldn't go playoff, but I do appreciate the optimism. Quarterback would help so much. It would help so much because, like I mentioned, in Bill Connelly's SP Plus projections, Tennessee was number 56 on offense. How much of that is due to the quarterback? Now, some of that fairly is due to replacing a lot of production at wide receiver, but you have great running backs coming back. You have a damn good offensive line returning. How much of that is due to quarterback putting you back in the 50s? I'd say a whole lot.
Well, I would just say that it's a combination of, I know everyone wants to say that Chaney is the answer to everybody's problems. I'm just saying it's a combination of an OC and a quarterback and an offensive system all gelling together. So I would say this. If Jim Chaney could pick his quarterback from the transfer portal to fit his system, he would be in the playoffs next year.
God, I hope it's that simple.
If that's not true, then why do we hire him? I mean, I'm going to be negative on the backside of it because that's me, but am I wrong in saying that? And if he can't pick his quarterback.
Maybe he has picked his quarterback in Bailey, but maybe that's just the whole issue. Pruitt's going to go out there and say how much that Jarrett's helped us win games and how much. I mean, Garantano even said it himself when. Have you seen these videos that they've been doing on the football Twitter account of the returning players talking about unfinished business? Garantano did one, and he even said himself, you know, this is going to be the first time in my career I've had the same coordinator for back-to-back seasons, so I think that's going to really help me a whole lot. Are they just banking on it being consistent back-to-back seasons under Chaney and not making him a fantastic quarterback, but maybe more of what we saw against Missouri, second half against Kentucky.
I'm sorry to say this, but if you listen, him and I can fight one day if it makes him that mad, but I just don't believe that he's the answer to the problem. I just believe that he's not, whether or not he's been coached up and ready to play that role yet, maybe it's not his fault. And I'll give him that, but where we are right now, I just don't understand why he's not playing wide receiver next year, or like some cornerback or something. I mean, he has no part as being the starting quarterback or even on the depth chart for the quarterback next year. I just think he has more to contribute in another fashion. He's not a quarterback.
Appreciate the phone call, Westchester. Good to hear from you again. Be sure you call back regularly like you used to. Well, guys, going back to just the whole top 20 here, and I'll run through some of these overall rankings here. ESPN has Clemson number one. I don't think that shocked a whole lot of people. Alabama at number four behind Oklahoma, yikes, and Ohio State. Agree with Bama being four, because some of those other analytical models have Bama one.
They still run with Mac Jones, or are they going to run with somebody else?
They might try younger.
Bryce Young
or Talia. Talia.
That's true.
Yeah, you had Feinbaum out there doing his tour of getting fan bases excited. He said Bryce Young is already better than Tua.
Bryce Young's better than Talia.
Now, see, I could buy into that.
Is it Talia or Talia, whatever Talia. It is?
Yeah, I don't. I've heard it both ways. I really have no idea.
Yes or no, while we wrap up this hour here. You see 19 in the you see 19 in both these recent analytical models. Real quick, is Tennessee a top 20 team in the AP preseason poll?
No.
No.
I don't think so either. Are they ranked?
We might slide in at 24 or 25. I could see it just on our run at the end of the season.
I think I'm going with that. We got a run here. Hour two of the show is coming up after this. 865-546-8200. More overtime coming up on the other side.